standing, if you would, and turn in your Bibles to John chapter 14. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in front of you. John chapter 14, all month long, our emphasis is on standing for Jesus. And I'm giving us reasons why we should stand for and in Jesus. We saw already we should stand in Jesus because we're complete in Him. And going to talk a little bit today about standing for Jesus because of the type of life that He's given us. And one aspect of life is eternal life. And you say, preacher, we know that. But do you really wrap your head around that? Amen. And I tell you, I have a hard time doing that. But when you see the contrary of what comes, amen, it helps you understand it a little bit better. Amen. John chapter 14, we're going to start reading in verse 1. Jesus here, He's speaking to His disciples, letting them know that He's going to prepare a place for them. But then He's going to come back and get them. Amen. Aren't you glad that Jesus didn't forget about you and me? Amen. And He is coming back to get us. We don't have to jump up to heaven. He's going to come back and receive us. Amen. That's a blessing. That's comforting. Because when I was a young Christian, I used to have those nightmares that Jesus came back and forgot me. And I'm so glad that I'm kept by the power of God. I don't have to worry about Him getting me. He knows my name. He's going to come back and get me. He knows my address. Amen. And I'm so glad He's coming back to get me. And He's coming back to get you as well if you're saved. Amen. And what a blessing it is. John chapter 14, verse number 1, He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Praise God. "Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto Him, "Lord, we know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, read this with me, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Jesus says, not only the way, the passage to get there, but I am the truth of getting there. There are a lot of fictitious ways of getting there. Jesus, I'm the truth of getting there. He says, you know what? And I am the life. I have eternal life. I have abundant life. I am the bread of life. I am the water of life. And I can give you eternal life.
Yes, sir, Pastor.
Praise God. I'm so glad that He does. I'm so glad He does. I'm so glad He knows my name. I'm so glad I've trusted Him. We're going to talk today about the perpetual life that God has given you and I. The perpetual life that God has given us. That's why we can stand for Him as we stand in Him. Father, bless now these next moments that we have together this morning. Lord, as we contemplate on a subject that we have all heard at some time or another, eternal life, help us really just kind of understand a little bit more of what this life is all about and what is in this life. I'm so thankful that we are complete in You, Lord Jesus. And You said You're the way, the truth, and You're the life. You've given us abundant life because You're the bread of life and the water of life. You laid down Your life for us that we might have eternal, everlasting life. And Lord, as we look at that subject today, may we be renewed afresh for the life that awaits us. And Lord, I pray if there's one today that does not know about that life, they're counting on any other thing other than Jesus Christ, His death, His burial, and His resurrection, which is the gospel. Help them to turn, repent, turn to Jesus Christ, and believe only and solely on Him for eternal life. Work in our lives today. Renew us again and refresh us in our spirit. We may be more focused on the life that is to come than this life that is. And may what we do in this life look toward and prepare us for the life that is to come. Thank You for loving us, Lord. Bless now the message and song and the sermon. Open the ears of the hearers, Holy Spirit. Open the hearts. Bring conviction where conviction is necessary and needed. But most of all, bring conversion that only You can do. I can't do it. I need You to work through me as I preach the word. Thank You for loving us today. Minister in the children's areas, nursery, and the children's church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We have a special this morning. Miss Natasha is going to...
struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God, you are faithful. Power in us, scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, yes, our hearts can say. Never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful. You are faithful, you are faithful, God, you are faithful. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy our hearts can say, never once did we ever walk alone. Covered by your constant grace, held within your perfect peace. Never walk, no, never walk alone.
Amen. Thank you, Natasha, for that message and song. Amen. What a blessing it is to know that we have a Savior that walks with us through troubled times and trials that we have in our lives. Amen. And again, we talked about that in Sunday school. You know, this temporal life is going to be filled with all sorts of struggles and heartaches and hardships. And, you know, one of the reasons why we get saved is to see something better than what we see right now. Amen. The ultimate purpose is to get away from that place called hell. That's the ultimate purpose. Amen. But there's nothing like knowing that there's going to be something better than the trials and the struggles that we see right now. So you're preaching, my life is not so bad. Amen. Well, you can't speak for everybody's life because there's some people's lives are really, really bad. Amen. And praise God for you if you don't have some struggles in your life. But the struggles of life is just a fact of life. Amen. But I'm so glad that Jesus Christ gives us eternal life. He gives us everlasting life. Amen. He is the water of life and the bread of life. He promises to give us abundant life. And what a blessing it is. Well, John 14 has been our stomping verse here, area here. We've been jumping from this, just letting you know that Jesus is the life. And one of the things that I want us to really understand that our theme all year long has been that we need to be able to stand. We need to be able to withstand in the evil day. And we have to do all that we can to stand and still stand, therefore, according to Ephesians chapter 6, 10 through 14. And the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to stand. We looked at standing for the family, standing for the Bible, standing for the church. And we're talking about now standing for Jesus. By the way, we're in a day and time right now where the name of Jesus is on many, many lips, but not for salvation. Amen. The name is known worldwide, but not for salvation. It's known for frivolousness and for cursing, and it's named for just a byword, or it's known for religion. And Jesus Christ has never been interested in religion. He's always been interested in the righteousness of God for yourself and for myself. But the name of Jesus is so prevalent right now, but not for salvation. And guess what? The Bible says there is no other name written among men under heaven given that whereby we must be saved. And it's that same name that people have taken frivolously and have used it in cursing and have used it for religious reasons and bases that will save the humblest of sinners. I don't care how vile you are. I don't care how wretched you are. I don't care where you've been. I don't care if you are the worst of the worst in your own mind. There's somebody always worse than you, and Jesus will save even them. Amen. Hey, I'm living proof. If he'll save me, I've been in jail. I've been out of jail. I've been in drugs. I've been out of drugs. I've been in drinking. I've been out of drinking. I've been into so many things. I'm not proud of any of those things, but Christ saved me out of all those things. Hey, hallelujah. I serve a great God. I serve a great God. And I do trust that if you don't know him, you will come to know him today, because he gives eternal life. He gives everlasting life.
Yes, he does.
Why should we stand for and in Jesus? Because we're complete in him. We saw that the last 2 weeks. Complete means to be furnished, satisfied, finished, fulfilled, made full, perfected. We are complete in Jesus. In other words, we have the life he wants us to have in him. And because he gave us life, everything begins with life. And by the way, what type of life do we have? That's what we're going to be looking at over the next couple of weeks. What type of life do we have? Life is a key theme in John's gospel here, and John uses the word life 38 times and alludes to it other times. 38 times in just the gospel of John alone. Our text verse here, John 14 and verse number 6, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the, say it with me, life. We can and should stand for Jesus because of the life we have in him. By the way, without Jesus, we have no life. Somebody say amen. You may be living, but you don't have life.
Amen.
Say, preacher, well, what do I have? You have something that's temporary, that in the end will become perpetual, but estranged from God.
Amen.
You say, preacher, I don't want that. I didn't want that either. That's why I got saved. And if you don't want that, you better get saved too.
Amen.
Amen. For God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. We'll look at that today. What kind of life do we have? Notice the perpetual state of this life. The words eternal life and everlasting life mean virtually the same thing. The same thing. Say, preacher, what is that? Perpetual. Everlasting means perpetual. Eternal means perpetual. Thayer's dictionary puts it this way. Never to cease. Never to see. So when you think that the Bible says he gives everlasting life, or he gives everlasting life, he gives a life that won't cease.
Oh, that's good.
Now, if we're saved here, we will never cease forever and ever 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 and ever. And add billions of more evers onto that. I cannot wrap my head around never cease.
Yeah, same here, Pastor.
I can't wrap my head around it, but the Bible says that if I have eternal life, I will never cease. We're talking in Sunday school about getting to heaven. And I don't know if you like me, I think about, I told them in Sunday school, what type of hair am I going to have? What color is my skin going to be? The Bible doesn't say, it just says I'm going to have a spiritual body. What color am I going to be? Am I going to be dark brown, light brown, no brown? Amen. What are my eyes going to be? Am I going to have Asian eyes? I'm going to have hazel eyes like my wife. Am I going to have brown eyes? I'm going to have black eyes. I hope I don't have any black eyes. Amen. Amen. What is my stature going to be? Am I going to be tall? Am I going to be 6'3"? Am I going to be 7 foot?
Oh, my goodness.
What size am I going to be? How round am I going to be? I don't know. I have a picture of what I would like to look like.
Amen.
Now, I don't know if God would agree with the picture that I have in mind, but the picture I have in mind, he's kind of bulked up, you know, about 6'7".
Yes, sir, Pastor. Yes, sir.
Got some hazel eyes and wavy hair.
Uh-huh.
And he's got some nice pearly white teeth. You know, he's got the perfect ears and the perfect nose. Say, preacher, you already got the perfect nose and ears. I know, but I'm just looking at heaven. Y'all don't get that. Amen.
But have you ever thought about what it's going to be like when you get to heaven? What are you going to look like? What are you going to be like? What are you going to do? Hey, we have a perpetual time in heaven. It will never cease. It's going to be everlasting, eternal. You better start thinking about what you're going to be doing, because you'll be doing something forever. We know we'll be praising God. We know that. We'll be serving the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We know that. We'll be busy about the Father's business, and we'll enjoy it. And all of y'all will be bald. So, is the perfect head with hair or without hair? You say it's got to be with hair because Jesus had hair. Okay, you got me on that one. Amen. All right. So the words eternal and everlasting life mean virtually the same thing, perpetual or never to cease. I can't wrap my head around that, but we can stand for Jesus because we can stand in Jesus, complete in him, as Colossians told us last week. But now we can stand for Jesus because he gives us this perpetual life. And I want us to notice a few things about this perpetual life this morning here. Amen. I'm going to look at some verses that contain the words everlasting and eternal, and they're interchangeable. They mean the same thing, perpetual. And the first area we're going to go to is the most well-known. What's the most well-known everlasting life verse? John 3:16 and John 3:15. Let's go over to John 3:16 and 3:15. Most of the areas that we're going to be in today are going to be in John, because John speaks over and over about life. Jesus here speaking to Nicodemus and says some things here. Notice what he says coming down to verse 15. He says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life or perpetual life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life or perpetual life. Notice the first thing about this perpetual life. We won't perish in hell. Amen. Now, we like to look at the God so loved the world part that he gave, but we neglect the perishing part. He gives a contrast. He said that whosoever believeth in him should not what? Perish, but have what? Everlasting life. So there is a downside to John 3:16. Jesus is saying, hey, look, there's this thing called sin. All have sinned to come short of the glory of God. There's this thing called death. The wages of sin is death. But there's this thing called the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, or perpetual life. So he's letting you know, even in John 3:16, with all the love of God that God has given his son, that there is this thing called perishing. And my friend, that's why people should get saved, because they see themselves perishing and separated from a holy God in a place called hell. Say, preacher, that's not so happy. Well, it wasn't happy for Jesus to have to go to the cross. But you know what? He did it so that you and I could have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Speaking to Nicodemus, he is giving Nicodemus this idea from the Old Testament. And he says, back in the Old Testament, because Nicodemus couldn't understand. Notice what it says in verse number 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb and be born? Now, Nicodemus, you know the answer to that. Now, you think about it. It doesn't take a brain surgeon to understand that that would be death to the mom. Amen. So why even ask that type of a question? Because he doesn't know anything else. Amen. But common sense tells you that's not true. Jesus said, verse number 5, Jesus answered, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, that's born of your mother's womb the first time, and of Spirit, that's the Spirit above, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. He said, when people are born from their mothers naturally, by childbirth, they're flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit or from the Spirit of God is spirit or spiritual. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Nicodemus didn't understand. Notice verse 9. Nicodemus answered, how can these things be? Jesus began to tell him some things there and finally alluded to numbers back in the Old Testament and said this in verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And then he goes into verse number 15. What did he allude to? The children of Israel had rebelled one time too many. And God told Moses, I want you to get a serpent and make him out of brass. And I want you to get that serpent and put that serpent up on that rod. And I want you to hold it up. And he said, everybody that looks at that serpent on that rod will live. In other words, look and live. What am I saying? You and I, we get saved. We look and live. We look to the cross. We see the sin that Jesus died for. We recognize that that sin was our sin that he's dying for because he was sinless. But he suffered for us. He died for us. He bled for us. And he died. He was buried. And he rose again for us. You and I get saved the same way that Nicodemus is being instructed to get saved. Look and live. And he believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and he got saved. And so he takes him all the way back to Moses and Numbers and says, hey, look, the same way Moses held up the serpent in the wilderness and everybody that looked were saved. Guess what happened, though, that didn't look and believe? They weren't saved. They died. And he says the same way Moses lifted up that serpent, Nicodemus, is what needs to happen, not just to you, but everybody else. Notice what he says, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever, what, believeth in him should not, what, perish, but have everlasting life. By the way, that word perish means to destroy fully, to lose, or to die. And that dying is everlasting. Matthew 25, 41. Hold your finger there and go back to Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41. Because when that verse says perish, it means to destroy fully, to lose, or to die. But I want you to get the comprehension of what's happening here. Matthew chapter 25. And in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus is speaking about the last days and what's going to happen in the last days. And he's talking about the separation that's going to happen between the nations and the peoples. And he comes down to verse 41. And he says this. He says, then shall he say also to them on the left hand. By the way, the left hand is a position of dishonor. Depart from me, ye. What's that word? Cursed. Cursed into everlasting. The same word, perpetual. Notice what it is. Fire. But who is it prepared for? The devil and his angels. But who is it being spoken to? Those that did not accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. So God in his love sent his only begotten Son that whosoever believeth in him, Jesus Christ, should not perish or go to this place of eternal or everlasting fire. But guess what? You've got to receive that. You got to receive that. And so just as perpetual as everlasting life is, this fire is just as perpetual. Why? It says everlasting what? Fire prepared for who? The devil and his angels. Can I give you something here? Hell was never created for you.
Amen.
Hell was never created for me. Hell was never created for mankind. Hell was created for, what does the scripture say? The devil and his angels. Those, the devil and the angels that rebelled against God, that's who it was prepared for because of their rebellion. But guess what? God is going to punish our sin in the same place if we don't accept the punishment of Jesus Christ on the cross. And that's why he says, as Moses lifted up the serpent, that whosoever believeth in him. And by the way, it's more than believing in him, it's believing on him, as John 3:36 says. Go back with me to the John Gospel of John. So it's everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. And by the way, when you look at this everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels, our soul and our spirit will live forever in one of two places, heaven or hell. You say, preacher, what about purgatory? What about it? God knows no such place. God knows no such place. Well, isn't there a place of purging? Yes, it's called earth. Wasn't there a place where we can get our deeds right? It's called earth. Isn't there a place where we can pray for our loved ones? It's called earth. Isn't there a place we can light candles? It's called in the darkness. Amen. But you don't light candles for anybody. You better pray for them. You don't light a candle for anybody. Amen. My Bible says to pray one for another. He says, hey, and some save with compassion, others with fear. And so when it comes down to it, my friend, there is no other place but heaven or hell, and we will perpetually or everlasting or eternally live in one of two places. And we already saw who hell was prepared for, the devil and his angels. The everlasting fire, the lake of fire, that was prepared for the devil and his angels, never for you. And my friend, God loves you too much to want you to go there. The Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. What are we talking about? He said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not, what's the word? Perish, but have everlasting life. God is merciful and God is loving, and God does not want anyone to enter into eternal fire. Prepare for the, especially when you don't have to. You don't have to. Jesus Christ has done the hard part. He bled. He died. He was crucified. He was spat upon. He had the crown of thorns planted upon his head. He had the spear in his side. He's the one that hung there naked. He was the one that all the shame was put on him. My friend, you and I didn't have any of that. Amen. But let me tell you something. The day I got saved, I felt naked. Mm-hmm. I felt ashamed before a holy God. I felt all of heaven looking at me and my wickedness. I was before God as one stripped down, and they were all looking at me and all of my full wickedness and all of my sin and all of my condemnation and all of my filthiness. And I was naked and ashamed that I felt that way before a holy God, because I was. I was undone without Christ. But God in his mercy says, son, now you're at the place where you can receive me. You see who you really are. You see what you have, but you also see that you can be complete in my son. Oh, would you not trust my son? Would you not believe on him? And February 3rd, 1991, I bowed my wicked head, and all my shame and all my filth and all the wicked stuff that I had. And I said, Lord, I don't deserve to be saved. I'm filthy. I'm undone before you. And I'm right down embarrassed in front of you. What happened? My wife and I sing the song, I Stand in Awe. I was in absolute awe of the majesty of God. And when I saw his holiness, it showed me how wickedly sinful I really was. And I said, Lord, I don't deserve for you to save me. I said, but I sure don't want to go to hell. Lord, I'm definitely afraid of perishing. Lord, eternal fire. That's where your Bible says I'm going to go, and that's not where I want to go. Lord, save me. Amen. And folks, I wasn't flowerful. I wasn't saying, oh, magnificent majesty of God. I didn't know any of that. All I know is I'm going to hell. Lord, save me. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I didn't know any flowery prose that I could sing. I didn't know any poetry that I could quote to my God. Why? I was naked. I was ashamed. I was a wicked, low-down sinner. Say, preacher, I wasn't that bad. Well, I was. It doesn't matter how wicked or low down you are or are not. What matters is all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So it matters not your level of wickedness. It just matters that all have sinned. And as a result of that, I called on the Lord. Why? I understood, for God so loved the world. I put my name in there. That he gave his only begotten son. That's Jesus. That whosoever believeth in him, that's me, should not perish. That's eternal and perpetual fire, but have eternal life. That's perpetual, never ceasing life. I like verse 17. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Praise God. And so, folks, one of the reasons why you and I can stand is because of the perpetual life we have. And we won't perish. We won't perish in hell. It's impossible. Pastor Bennett used to say he could swing over hell on a rotten corn cob and he wouldn't fall in. Well, I can say this. My wife pulled a string off of me early. I could swing over hell on that string she pulled off my jacket and I wouldn't fall in. I'm hell proof and heaven bound. And guess what? I'm kept by the power of God. I don't have to keep myself saved. He keeps me. That's the best part. I'm sealed into the day of redemption. Amen. That's what I have in Jesus. And that's why I can stand for him. That's why I should stand for him, because of what he did for me. Eternal life, perpetual life, everlasting life. Because of perpetual life, we won't perish in hell. John 10:28 puts it this way. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. John chapter number 10. I told you we're going to stay pretty much in John for the most part. John chapter number 10. Jesus letting us know how perpetual this life is and how never ceasing this life is. John chapter 10. Speaking to the Jews, he says in verse 28, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. We sing the song, following him, I know I'm right. Amen. And I give unto them eternal life, perpetual life. They shall never perish. There's our word again. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That perish again has the same meaning, the same connotation. Never ceasing fire. They're going to perish. He said, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Praise God. What am I saying? Because of perpetual life, we won't perish in hell. But preacher, you say, some of us may die. Yes, but Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians 4:16. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. We looked at that in Sunday school. Though my outward man is perishing, I'm getting older. I'm getting wrinkled, a little wrinklier. Wrinklier, that a word? Wrinkled, amen. I'm getting wrinkled. Hair's falling out, amen. Muscles are giving away. Achilles tendons aren't as strong and flexible as they used to be. But guess what? My spirit's getting stronger and stronger because I'm being renewed day by day. Oh, yes, the outward man is perishing. By the way, the Bible says flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God anyway. So this is not the body that is going anyway. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And so it's got to be changed. Imagine letting this wickedness in heaven. It would disintegrate upon impact at the glory of God. Think about it. Nobody could look at God and live in his full-blown glory. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to seeing him in his glory. Now, and folks, I just told you about when I got saved. That what I saw when I got saved was enough to just knock me down. What I saw when I got saved was enough to knock me down. I didn't fall down, but I was down in the pros position. Lord God, I am undone. Look at you. And look at how magnificent. Oh, glory. I just feel so bad. And folks, I just saw a glimpse of his glory. Say, preacher, I didn't see anything like that. Well, I did. I did. When you get a glimpse of God, you see how wicked you really are. And so Paul says, though our outward man perish, 2 Corinthians 4:16, the inward man is renewed day by day. 1 Corinthians 15:50 said, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Number two, because of perpetual life, we aren't placed under the wrath of God. Go back to the Gospel of John with me, chapter number 3. Gospel of John, chapter number 3. Why can we stand for Jesus? Because of perpetual life we have. And because of the perpetual life we have, we won't perish in hell. But number two, because of the perpetual life that we have, we aren't placed under the wrath of God. John chapter 3 and verse number 36. Jesus continuing the speaking here, although he's not speaking at this particular moment, says, he that believeth on the Son hath life. Notice that hath is a continual action verb with a TH. I have it and I'm going to continue to have it. He that believeth on the Son. Why is it a continual action? Because believeth. I am not just believing now. I continue to believe. Those folks say, well, you can lose your salvation. Well, it's not eternal life then. Well, you can lose your salvation. It's not everlasting life, because my everlasting life says never to cease. It says it's perpetual. And if I can lose it, then what I have is probationary life at best. Somebody say amen. At best, I've got, and God is never interested in giving you probationary life. Find it in scripture that he said, well, you have temporary life. Well, I've given you a probationary life, but if you mess up, boy, it's the trap door for you. Down you go. Well, if down I go, I'm going to get back up. Well, you got to get saved all over again. Fooey. You mean to tell me that my God can't save me and keep me? Peter says, I'm kept by the power of God. Last time I checked, it's the same God that said, let there be light. And guess what? There was light. Yes, last time I checked, it's the same God that said, let us make man in our image. And guess what happened? Boom, boom. There man was. And so if you have a probationary life, my friend, you need to get saved. I'm not being mean. I'm just letting you know you are not saved. If you have something that you can lose, it is not what the Bible teaches that you have. Because the Bible definition of eternal and everlasting is never to cease or perpetual. And you need to get saved. But notice what he says down here. We're not under the wrath of God. He says in verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So because I believe, and I'm continuing to believe, I have eternal life, and the wrath of God is going to abide on the one that is not. By the way, let me give you this. Because of the tense and the way it's written, the wrath of God abideth on him. That means the wrath of God is on you right now if you're not saved. The wrath of God is hanging over your head like this, waiting for the moment for you to drop dead. And the moment you drop dead, the wrath of God is going to come paid in full on you. So in other words, pretend that this little guitar stand here is a person.
Yes.
And they're walking around in their life and the wrath of God is on them and they never get saved and they drop dead. The wrath of God says, okay, here you go. Let's put you in hell.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's judgment day. Come on up. Stand before me. Well, Lord, why am I being judged? I went to church. I was a Baptist. And Lord, I even got baptized. And Lord, I had a Bible. And Lord, I was religious. And Lord, I prayed. And Lord, I did all these wonderful things. He's going to say, look at that Lamb.
Mm-hmm.
The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Did you believe on him? But no. Well, yeah, I tried to. No, you didn't try to. Either you do or you don't. Well, I tried to be a good person. You either believed on him or you didn't. Well, I was hoping to, or I was waiting to. You waited too long because the wrath of God has fallen on you.
Mm-hmm.
Brethren, I don't know about you, but when I saw the holiness of God, I was afraid.
Yes,
I was afraid. You say, preacher, were you in awe? I was that too. But I was afraid of hell.
Mm.
Of hell. Say, preacher, that's not politically correct. You're not supposed to say that because people might get afraid. If I can scare them into hell and into heaven, praise God.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? It's in the Bible.
Yes,
others save by fear, Jude says. What am I saying here? The wrath of God. The wrath means this, violent passion. Do you want God's violent passion on you? That's why I got saved. It means justifiable abhorrence or justifiable hatred. I don't want that. It means punishment. It means indignation. It means vengeance or anger aroused by something that is unfair or unjust. Now, how many of y'all don't like unfair stuff? I don't like unfair stuff. You don't like injustice. I don't like injustice. Hearing about people getting bombed that are innocent, I don't like that. Hearing of people do things that are just wicked and insane, I don't like hearing about these mass murders that do this and do that. Ever been angry at the wicked? You see people on TV that do wicked. Hey, on the news last night, they showed on one of these, at somebody's house over there on by Mission, I think it was, a guy got out of his car. The postman had come up to the door, and it was all caught on camera. The postman came up there and left a package at the door. And then the camera picked up a guy going by in a car, slowed down, backed up, boy got out of the car, ran up to the house, took the package, and jumped back in his car and took off. That made me mad. That, and I thought, you wicked person, you. But guess what? The same thing happened to me. When my wife was pregnant with G2, we had ordered some books for the church. And UPS had dropped the books off at the front door and rang the doorbell. And one of the teenagers saw them. And the teenager picked up the box of books and started running down the street. And my wife, bless her heart, she was trying to run after him, pregnant with G2, trying to get it back. I'd have caught him all right. And probably would have lost my Christianity all upside their head. No, you don't do that. Call the cops on this guy while I'm beating his head. Amen. Somebody call the cops on this guy for somebody get me for abuse. Amen. And it angered me that they would do that to me and make my wife chase him. It angered me. He said, preacher, you're not supposed to do that. You're a preacher. What would you have done if you'd called him? He said, hey, that's called trespassing. Amen. You're on my property. Put those things up in there. This house is guarded by Smith and Wesson. Amen. Hey, the Bible says it this way in Psalm 711. God is angry with the wicked every day. Angry with the wicked. Now, I don't know about you, but before I got saved, that was me. God was angry with me every day. Why? Because I was snubbing his son. Because I was snubbing the sacrifice, because I was snubbing the sinless Lamb of God, because he who died for me and he who gave all for me, I was ignoring him, saying, I got religion, I got my Bible, I'm reading, I'm praying, I'm giving, I don't need that, I got religion. Hey, I was snubbing God. And so Psalm 711 says, God is angry with the wicked every day. So John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. The violent passion of God or the vengeance of God is on that person. Folks, you and I can stand because that's not on us anymore. Because of perpetual life, we won't perish in hell. Because of perpetual life, we're not placed under the wrath of God. But thirdly, because of perpetual life, we aren't placed under condemnation. Go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. This is why you and I can stand. This is why you and I should stand. John chapter 5, Jesus speaking. Chapter 5, verse 24 says it this way. Because of perpetual life, we aren't placed under condemnation. Verily, verily, I say unto you that he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, what is it? Everlasting life, perpetual life. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. So we won't perish over there in John 3:16 and John 15. We're not under the wrath of God, according to John 3:36. But then here in John chapter 5 and verse 24, we are not placed under condemnation. You say, preacher, what does condemnation mean? It means a decision against or an accusation or damnation or judgment or justice by divine law. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be tried by the law of God for my life. You say, preacher, I do. I want to stand before God and say, judge me, God. You're a fool. Well, amen. You're a fool. The wages of sin is death, and you only have one life to give. That's foolishness. Well, I did the best I could. Foolishness. Wages of sin is still death. Well, I made a mistake. The Bible calls that sin. And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Pastor White and I was talking to the Muslim guy. He said, well, we all make mistakes. I said, the Bible calls that sin. So you can call it what you want to, but God calls it sin. And at the last day, guess what? You're going to be judged by him. I said, now what you going to ask him? What you going to tell him? He said, I'll tell him to have mercy on me. I said, mercy is now. Judgment is later. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Mercy is now. This is the day of grace. Amen. When you hit the ground, amen, where the tree falls, that where it lays, and the sin that you're in is either going to be on Jesus or on you. And if it's on you, you're going to everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels, never intended for you. And it's your fault. Say, preacher, I didn't know. You're knowing now. Folks, somebody had to tell me because I thought I was okay. I had a Bible. I prayed every night. I went to church. I gave money. I tried to be the best I could. Somebody warned me. Amen. And said, do you know that's not going to get you to heaven? I said, it's got to be in that book somewhere. He said, it is nowhere. He said, you're going to face the wrath of God. You're going to face the judgment of God, son. You better get saved. And I thought, well, when I die, I'll get to heaven. I'll plead my case. And my case is better than most. It's not better than the cross. It's not better than the Lamb of God. It's not better than for God so loved the world that he gave. You have no argument against that. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That means everybody from the smallest to the oldest. That covers all. Doesn't matter how good you are. Doesn't matter how bad you are. Doesn't matter how good you look. Doesn't matter how bad you smell. Guess what? It's for everybody. And all to avoid the condemnation, all to avoid the perishing, all to avoid the wrath of God. Jesus did it for you. He did it for me. My friend, you and I can stand because we have a good God. And we should stand. The word condemnation also means a tribunal, a court that has authority in a specific area to decide. And because the Lamb of God died for your sin, he can judge. Notice what John chapter 5:22 says. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the who? The Son. Now, I don't know about you, but just for argument's sake, if I died on the cross for you, and you didn't accept me, and you came up to my heaven saying, well, I went another way, and I was spat upon, and I had the thorns placed on my head, and I was pierced in the side, and I didn't do anything wrong, and I was placed on the cruel cross, and I died, and I came back, and I'm sitting judge, and you got another way, you know what I'm going to say? Look at the scars. Look at the wound. Look at the piercings. Did you not know what you had in me? And you want something else? There is nothing else because the wages of sin is still death. And I died for you. And so now you've got to die for you. Folks, that's the simplicity of it. Jesus died for you and I so we don't have to die for us. And when I saw that, that blew me away that Jesus would do that for me. I know me. I wouldn't do that for me. But he did it for me. I'm talking about what we have. We have perpetual life. Jesus did that for me. I'll never cease. I have no end. I get to praise God. February 3rd, 1991. It was written down that my wife and myself bowed down and got saved. It's in eternity. There's a new name written down in glory. And it's Greg Dawson. It's Carmen Dawson. February 3rd, 1991. Forevermore. We'll never cease. This outward body may perish. This outward body may cease. But the inward man is going stronger and stronger. And one day, I'll be in the eternals. I'll be in the heavenlies. One day, my friend, is coming. It's coming. Why? Because I looked upon the Lamb of God. Look and live. Condemnation. The judgment. John 5:22. Judgment. Father judgeth no man, but committeth all judgment unto the Son. One more and we'll be done. Because of perpetual life. Number one, we won't perish in hell. Because of perpetual life. Number two, we aren't placed under the wrath of God. Because of perpetual life, we aren't placed under condemnation. And number four, because of perpetual life, we'll be raised up at the last day. All about you, I'm looking forward to that. Look at John chapter 6, just one chapter over, verse 40. What am I saying? We can stand because we have perpetual life. We have everlasting life. We have eternal life. We'll never cease. The fire's not going to touch us. We cannot burn. We're like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We can go through the fires here on this earth. But guess what? It can't touch that inner man. It may help that outward man to perish a little bit quicker. May get me to glory, amen, a little bit quicker. But it cannot touch me. John chapter 6 and verse number 40. Jesus said, and this is the will of him that sent me, the will of God, that everyone which seeth the Son, Jesus, and believeth, notice that, on him, may have everlasting life. Notice that, may have. You don't have it if you're not believing. May have everlasting life. And what will you do, Lord, by giving me this perpetual life? And I will raise him up at that last day. Oh, I am looking so forward to that day. I'm looking so forward to that day. Hey, my body may go into the dust. The worms may destroy my body, as Job said. But one day I'm going to see my Redeemer. I know my Redeemer liveth. I'll stand one day. I'll be in that glorified body. I'll perpetually be with him. I will never cease. I will know him, and he will know me. And I will be like him because I will see him as he is. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm looking forward to it. Thessalonians puts it this way in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. Let me get over there, amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For we believe Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with them. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. What did Jesus say? In the last day I'll raise them up. I'll raise them up at the last day. Then we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words. Paul gives the encouragement to the brethren at Corinth in chapter 15 with these words. In verse number 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. That means to be dead. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, that the dead shall be raised incorruptible. What am I saying? He'll raise him up at that last day. And we shall be changed. Because of perpetual life, we'll be raised up at the last day. God has given us a guarantee, and he's given his word. But most of all, he's given his son. He's given his son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Why do I know that we are able to stand? Why do I know that we're able to withstand? Why do I know that we need to do all that we can to stand? Because Jesus is standing for you. He's standing for you. I like it. It says Jesus sat down on the right hand of the throne of God. But when Stephen got stoned in Acts, he said, I see the Lord standing. I can only imagine him saying, look at that. And that's the only time that the Bible says he stood, was when Stephen was stoned for his testimony. And I can just see the Lord Jesus saying, man, you did good. You did good. Think about it. We give people a standing ovation. Yeah, bravo. Oh, yeah. But Jesus was standing for Stephen. Why can we stand for him? Because he stands for us. He's making intercession for you. He's making intercession for me. Oh, I know these days are tough to stand in. I know we've got trials that we go through. I know we've got circumstances that are beyond our control. I know that we have bad things happen to good people all the time, and Christians seem to get most of that. But you and I can stand for him because he's standing for us. And he's given us perpetual life. We can stand for Jesus because of the life that we have in him. The perpetual state of this life is both everlasting and eternal. It will never cease. John chapter 5 and verse 39, Jesus said, search the scriptures, and them you think you have eternal life. They are they which testify of me. Peter said to Jesus, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Where are we going to go? You and I have eternal or everlasting life, can and should stand for Jesus. We have nothing to lose and everything to gain. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. We have eternal life, perpetual life. But friend, let me extend this to you. If you're not saved here today, you don't have that comfort. You don't have that assurance. And Jesus is still, his arms are still stretched out, saying, I'll save you. I can only think about February 3rd, 1991, and Jesus was like this. And I was trying to give all my credentials on why I should be in heaven. And he just kept doing like this. And the more he did like that, you know what you can see? That scar and that scar. And as I was rejecting that and trying to bask myself in my righteousness of what I had done, Jesus was still, the wages of sin is death, son. The gift of God is eternal life. Would you come? And it took me 2.5 hours for God to break me down of my own self-righteousness, my own religious works, my own self-worth, my own Baptist heritage and my family heritage. It took 2.5 hours for God to break me down. But that's when I stood in awe of him. And that's when I saw him high and lifted up. And my friend, I haven't been the same since. And I have perpetual, everlasting, eternal life. No more condemnation for me. No more wrath of God for me. No more perishing for me. I will be raised up one day if I don't get caught in the rapture. And I'm looking for that life which is to come. How about you today? He's waiting for you. His arms are still stretched out for you. Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you for saving me. Thank you, Lord, that you reassured me that you have given to me eternal life. Because of that, I will never perish in hell. Lord, because of what you did, I have perpetual life. I'm not placed under the wrath of God. Lord, because of what you did, I have perpetual life, and I'm not placed under condemnation because of what you did. I'll be raised up at the last day. And as a result, Lord, I can stand for you because you stood for me. Work on the heart of every man, woman, boy, or girl in the sound of my voice. And there's one today without Jesus Christ. Let them know that you love them first, and that you gave heaven's best second, and that you will save them thirdly if they would fourthly repent of sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for this time. Work, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name I pray. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. All across this room, I want to ask you a simple question. We made much of eternal life today. we made much of Jesus Christ and what he has given us by way of perpetual life. But we also made much of hell. And that is where we will spend eternity, or a time that will never cease if we're not saved. And if you're not sure that heaven is your home, right now, right where you're at, every head is bowed and every eye is closed. No one's looking around. I want you to raise your hand so I can pray for you. Whether you're a man, woman, boy, or girl, if you're not a Christian, would you raise your hand? I want to pray for you. I see one hand over on my left. You may put that one down. Is there another that would join this one saying, I'm not sure if I died right now to go to heaven. I am concerned about it. Remember me in your closing prayer, preacher. Man, woman, boy, don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. I sat just like you sat February 3rd, 1991, in a room of Christians that were praying. Amen. I see that hand. You may put it down. Is there another? We'll join these two. I'm not sure if I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I may have to go to that place of everlasting fire, and it's not where I want to go. Pray for me, preacher. And it's not based on your righteousness or being religious. Amen. Christians, how about you? Are you focusing on the life that is to come, that perpetual life? Or are you so wrapped up in this temporal life that you cannot even see the life that is to come? And you cannot see that God has saved you from perishing. God has saved you from condemnation or wrath. And then, Christian, maybe you ought to come and renew that passion and say, God, thank you for saving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for getting me away from that wrath and that perishing, that condemnation. Thank you, Lord, that you'll raise me up. Maybe you need to reset your focus on the Lord Jesus Christ today. I don't know where you're at, but wherever you're at, search your heart and respond as God would have you to respond. Father, bless now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet.
Amen.
Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, no one looking around as Miss Natasha plays the hymn of invitation. God spoke in your heart, would you move? Would you come? Maybe you say that you're not sure you're a Christian or heaven is your home. Would you come and let us take a Bible and show you how you can be saved? Maybe you raise your hand saying, preacher, I'm not sure if I died, I'd go to heaven. But I'm concerned about it. Let us take a Bible and show you how you can be sure today. You're amongst Christians that love you, want to help you out today. I can't come to you, but you can come to me. You come and say, preacher, I want to be saved. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one looking around. You raise your hand and said, I'm concerned and I would like to be saved. I want you to do something. Every other head is bowed, every eye is closed. Would you look at me just for a moment? Would you like to be saved? Why don't you let us take a Bible and show you how? Just come. Just come. To someone else. Maybe God spoke in your heart. Hey friend, I know your fears. I felt that before. I've been there. But I was too afraid to die and go to hell. I was too afraid. Would you let someone show you how you can be saved today? Christian, would you thank God that you don't have the wrath of God anymore? You're not placed under condemnation anymore. You're not going to perish anymore. You'll be raised up one day. Oh, I'm excited about that. I spend too much time focusing on this world. I'm ready to start thinking about the next one. Say, preacher, you're saying that because you're old. You don't have to be old. You can be young, and God can take you home. At such an hour as you think not, Jesus said, the Son of Man cometh. Don't focus so much on this life, but look towards the next. But if I were you, I wouldn't look forward to the next if you don't have this one settled. If you don't get it settled in this one, you're not looking forward to everlasting fire. Say, preacher, I'll make a deal with God when I get to heaven. I thought the same thing. But there are no deals to be made. The deal has been done. It's been set. The Lamb of God is the judge. And he will judge righteously. And he'll replay countless number of times that you had to receive Christ as Savior. But if you are saved, what are you doing for the kingdom of God? Knowing that we'll be going into perpetual life, are you preparing some things for heaven? Are you getting souls saved? Are you talking to people about Jesus Christ? Are you ministering for him? Are you praying for others? Are you serving with a servant's heart? Are you joyful in spirit? Are you manifesting the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Oh, this life is just preparation for the next life. don't know about you, but God spoke to my heart this week. He told me that I'm not reflecting on the life that is to come enough. I'm so wrapped up with the toil and the problems in this life. So busy with my own agenda, I don't have time for the agenda of God. God smote my heart. I trust He spoke in yours. My Father, I am so thankful for the perpetual life You've given me. The eternal life You've given me that will never cease. And Lord, I can stand for You because I'm complete in You. I can stand for You because I stand completed and fulfilled in You. And Lord, I can stand for You because You stand for me. And You stand for me. You've given me the water of life, the bread of life, abundant life. And oh God, thank You for loving me to give me so much. And God, take these words and impress them upon our hearts today. Lord, help us to leave differently than when we came in, giving You praise, honor, and glory. But help no man, woman, boy, or girl leave without getting that question settled. What must I do to be saved? And let no Christian leave without thinking more on the eternal than on the temporal. Thank You for this life that You've given us that is perpetual, that will never cease. By the blood of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Brother Hall has our closing announcements, but members, let's just remember that our communion service is tonight. Be back at 5 o'clock. If you're a member, I encourage you to be here.